So happy to see all of you here today. Just carrying that prelude made me smile this morning. And your presence makes me smile as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this time of worship. We've come here, gathered here this day, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to bring glory to your holy name, to thank you for your abundant gifts to us. We love you. Help us as we celebrate Advent, the first coming of Jesus, and as we anticipate the second Advent and the second coming. We love you and thank you for this time that we have to worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord himself shall give a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and give him the name Emmanuel, for that means God is with us. Let's stand together as we sing. Oh, come, Emmanuel.
First week of Advent, we light the candle of hope, or the prophecy candle. From Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 and 6. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace.
So today is the first Sunday of Advent, and we light the candle that represents hope, the prophecy candle. Welcome, glad you're here, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Glad the Lord has led you to worship with us today, and we're glad that you're our guest, and guests, we are encouraged that you are here with us to worship, thankful for you being here. All right, take a few moments, stand and welcome your friends, glad you're here today.
Traditional worship service. So we'll be singing that song over and over, even at our candlelight service. So get a hold of that one and let's sing it throughout the month.
The Long Range Planning Committee has been working tirelessly over the past several months and thinking about and praying about the vision that God is giving us at First Baptist Church. The chair of that committee is Lyndall Glasgow. And so we talked a few weeks ago at our last meeting. Lyndall talked about how we have some projects that are we want to go ahead and start working on even in 2025. And so Lyndall's going to tell you about those projects and how we can start financially getting ready for those. So go ahead and lead us, Lyndall.
Thank you, Brother Joel. I am chair of the Long Range Planning Committee, and I wanted to share with you a couple of near-term projects we have identified where the campus and facility improvements can be made in 2025. Our church continues to flourish. Attendance growth in worship and study groups on Sundays, increased participation in Wednesday night activities, and more utilization of the fellowship hall for events are all signs that our church is thriving. What a blessing. Our church is also blessed to be in the best financial state in many years. We are debt-free, have tithing and general offerings that cover our budget. Mission giving is always very generous. And we have been able to set aside an emergency fund for large, unexpected expenses that come our way. In the past couple of years, general funds have been able to build a small parking lot, reupholster the worship center seating that you're enjoying, carpet and other flooring on the ground floor, and replace 7 HVAC units this year alone. Our congregation's faithfulness and generosity return a portion of God's blessings that they have been received back to support the ministry and the work of the church is commendable. But as we look forward to more campus improvements, our building fund balance is pretty modest compared to the list of needs identified. As the Long Range Planning Committee continues to fully develop a long-term master plan for the campus, it is obvious that additional parking is one of the top priorities. Development of plans for constructing a new parking lot on the grassy lot across the street from the children's playground are expected to start soon. The high and low spot topography of what the church acreage entails will make every parking or building construction project we encounter a challenge and a little more expensive than what might normally be expected. But proper planning for this area should allow for a minimum of 60 parking places, or hopefully more as we cut back up into the mountain a little further than the grassy lot there. So we're looking to do that to benefit members and visitors alike as we make parking more accessible and more available on average Sundays. Even on big Sundays, we're really in a bind between the 8:15 service and the worship time and then the Sunday school hour. It gets really, really congested out there as we transition. So we're looking to make sure that we've got adequate parking for all age groups. The Fellowship Hall was built in 1989 and has been identified as a space that could be much more functional with updated lighting and controls, installed audio-visual equipment instead of the portable systems currently being used, and acoustic improvements to reduce the sound bounce. This would make presentation or programs more intelligible and enjoyable for the listeners. Professional companies would help us analyze these upgrades that might be needed in consideration towards a future expansion of that space. So we don't want to do anything now that would not work as we look in the future at possibly making the fellowship hall larger. Our mature adults and other groups use this space for many events throughout the year, and these would be much more meaningful and enjoyable with the upgrades. With these improvements in mind, we are starting a generosity campaign today through the spring to fund the work. SPOTS 2025, so SPOTS is Support, Parking, and Project Opportunities this spring, are things that we're looking to do. That's the acronym, and so we're looking to try to raise $350,000 or more to go towards funding these projects. We realize this is December and a time when household budgets may have extra expenses. And it's also the month of the year that we do the Lottie Moon mission offering that we do not want to impact. So it may be after the first of the year before you want to contribute. But we do have a historical, but year end is historically a time of year that many in our church like to give a generosity offering that really helps the financial aspects of the church. And so we wanted you to have that opportunity as we close out the end of the year to be able to do that. And we ask for your prayer for support as we continue the church's mission to know Christ and make him known here in our city. If you do make a check or do online, please mark it for the building fund. We're kind of reactivating the building fund. And so if you'll mark those contributions to the building fund, that will help the church staff direct those funds to the proper accounts. SPOTS 2025 is the first step toward implementation of a fully developed master plan that is in the works for new buildings within the campus block. A new facility, a youth facility, tops the need list and visions for additional space for children and an anchored adventures, along with improved mature adult classroom locations, are under consideration. Any new building the church approves will be a multi-million dollar project, and a generosity campaign is tentatively planned for September 2025 to raise funds for that construction. The long-range planning committees are myself, Kathy Reeves, Brian Harrell, Amy Hawk, Lance Joyner, Jackie Hester, Dustin Hornbuckle, Jared Jackson, and Lauren Seguin. And Joel has been with us every step of the way. Every meeting, I think, except when the twins were born, he's been there with the architects, with the financial fundraising people, and all of our meetings, just trying to search out God's vision for what he has in store for us. And so we are working diligently multiple times a month in some months, but mostly we're meeting monthly to try to develop this long-term master plan to take care of the things that the church as we continue to grow. So we just ask for your prayers and continued support as we go through this. We will be communicating all these things through the church email system. So if you're not on the church email list at this point, please call Karen or someone in the church office, and they will be glad to get you on the email list so that we can communicate with you the progress that we make each time we make a step here. We are excited about what God is doing at First Baptist Church Gunnersville, and we look forward to the days and months ahead. Thank you.
So let's remain seated until we reach the third stanza of our offertory hymn, which is hymn number 249, O Come All Ye Faithful, as we sing together and celebrate this beautiful time of the year.
Behold. Lord and Heavenly Father, we do adore you. We love you and we need you. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this season that we celebrate your birth. Lord, as we light the hope, the joy, the love, and the peace candles, Lord, may that be what we have in our heart this season, Lord, and may we share that wherever we go, the good news of the gospel. Lord, this morning as we worship you, we just pray, Lord, that we are pleasing in your sight and that everything that we say, everything that we do, Lord, is for your honor and your glory. Lord, this morning we just pray that as we take up an offering, that you'll bless it, Lord, and it'll be used to further the good news of the gospel in this community and abroad. And in all things, Lord, may you receive honor and glory. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, choir, for preparing our hearts to hear the word and to celebrate that word hope today that we have in the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. And thanks, Lindell. Thanks, Lindell, for the hard work. Y'all, Lindell, as the chair of this committee, has put in so much time and energy and effort. And so thankful for that group that you heard him call out their names and the hard work that they're doing as we think about where we're headed, where we're going, the vision that God is giving to us as a church. You know, every time when we talk about that grass parking lot out there this way across from the children's playground, when we talk about that, one of the things that people don't really understand is that the parking lot that we have out here that was built literally 2 weeks before I got here, that parking lot and then the grass, we own up into the woods headed up into going toward the elementary school. We own more than half up that way than what you see. So there's a lot of land there, but how do we utilize that to the best of our ability? And we're working on that. Every time we meet with the architects and the engineers and they talk about pulling out those trees and all that we have to do, I always ask the same question. As your pastor, I want you to know I am doing my best for you. I always ask the same question. So, do you have a company that's going to do that for us for free? And they always answer the same way. No. So we got to pay for that stuff. So thankful to the Long Range Planning Committee and Lindell for, let's go ahead and start preparing our hearts and minds for where the Lord is leading us as far as the future is concerned. All right, Psalm chapter 42 and Psalm chapter 43. You can either find Psalm 42:5, 42:11, 43:5. It's the same refrain over and over again. So the psalmist is in trouble and he needs deliverance. And so he's going to say over and over again, he just continues to repeat this refrain over and over again about how he's going to put his trust and his faith and his confidence in God, not in his own ability, not in his own, in the material possessions that he has, not in all of those things, but he's going to put his trust and his faith in God and God alone. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Earlier, we lit the candle that represents hope. So the candles on the Advent wreath can either represent prophecy, Bethlehem, shepherds, angels. So different parts of the Christmas story. Or it can represent hope, love, joy, and peace. I like this year's video because this year's videos that Ken has chosen for us, they give both. So like today was the hope prophecy candle. And you can go either way with that. It doesn't really matter. Over the last 10 or 15 years, we've used the candles to represent hope, love, joy, and peace. No matter what we do, the center candle is always the same. It's always the Christ candle. You notice all of the other candles are surrounded around the central candle, the one that we put our faith and our trust in, the Christ candle, Jesus. And we always light that every year on carols by candlelight. So that will be ahead. The psalmist as we light this candle this morning, then we hear the psalmist cry out for deliverance. So here's what the psalmist says: I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. So that's how we are going to begin the Advent Christmas season. We're going to take a break from Philippians. We'll move back into Philippians in January, but we're going to take a break during the Advent Christmas season. And so on this very first Sunday of Advent, we cry out just like the psalmist: God, we're going to put our hope in You and You alone. We praise You. You are our God. You are our Savior. So it is the declaration of hope that the psalmist had for God in the midst of difficult times. We trust You today. We praise You today. He says, You are my salvation. In essence, what he's saying is, You are my salvation and You are my daily bread. So let's define hope. When we define hope as an American, we naturally have a definition in our brain of hope that is not the same definition that we have in the Scripture. So the word is the same. We use the word hope all the time in the American culture. I hope this, I hope that, I hope this happens, I hope this comes about. We use that word all of the time. The Bible uses that word all of the time. The first candle that we light for Advent is hope. But the two definitions couldn't be farther apart. One means wishful thinking, the other means a 100% guarantee. Couldn't be any different. So how do we define the word hope as Americans? Well, Webster defines for us a desire with anticipation or expectation. It may happen, it may not. Synonyms for hope: expectation or even trust. Now, one of my theological dictionaries defines hope as faith regarding matters that are not yet to be. All right? Faith, trust in something that is a guarantee. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. To say in the language that you and I understand, that means this: hope from a biblical perspective means, Lord, I'm going to trust my whole life in Your hands. Emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, I'm going to trust it all into Your hands. So today, Isaiah chapter 9 was the scripture passage that was read on the video. Psalm 43, Psalm 42. So what we're saying is, Father, as we begin this Advent Christmas season, we're going to put our hope in You and You alone. Everything that we are, everything that we have, we're going to put all of our eggs in Your basket. We cry with the psalmist, I'll put my hope in God and God alone. So when the psalmist said that, he was saying, number one, God, You are my salvation. All right, so those of us living beyond the old covenant, in the new covenant, we know this truth. We don't need a whole sermon on this. We know that salvation is from God and God alone. We have not done anything to earn our salvation in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We can't work for our salvation. We can't do enough for our salvation. God gives us His gift, the gift of His Son Jesus, and faith is simply the hand that receives the gift that God is giving to all of us. God reaches out His hand to His enemy and He offers salvation. So the psalmist even knew that. The psalmist said, God, You and You alone are my salvation. Eternal life comes from You and You alone. But the psalmist also said, But You're also my daily bread. That is to say, everything I have, everything I am is a gift that You have given to me. I have nothing. I am nothing without God and God alone. So God, You are my physical life, my daily bread. You are my spiritual life, my eternal salvation. So I put my hope in You and You alone. Years ago, probably I might have been here 6 months, maybe. And I was at some event. I don't know what the event was. I can't remember that. But there was a guy there, arrogant, full of himself. We had met, but we didn't really know each other that well. But there was a group of people, and there are times when people love to get the preacher. They just love that. Arrogant people, cocky, full of themselves. The new preacher at First Baptist Gunnersville, this guy lived here at that time. And, oh, this is my perfect opportunity to get the preacher. And I don't react real well in those situations, by the way. I'm not as joyful about those things as you might think. So, but boy's going to get me. And so he starts in. He starts in on you preachers, and you preach this and you preach that. God is this, God is that. Blah, 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 blah. Finally, he said, he then wanted everybody in the group to know who was in charge of his life. And so finally he finally looked at me and he said, well, let me just tell you something, preacher. I'm the one that gets up in the morning. I'm the one that goes to that job. I'm the one that makes that money. I'm the one that pays all the bills. I'm the one who takes care of that family. I'm the one. Oh, me, I. Tower of Babel all over again. I want the credit. Things are good, so it's all me, and I'm pointing to me. I want you and everybody around here to know that I'm the man. I'm in charge of everything. Oh, and so okay, good. I'm glad. So just for argument's sake, I said, okay, do you believe in God at all? Yeah, I believe in God. Now, you have to understand, the overwhelming majority of people who say they believe in God, they really believe in God more like deists believe in God. A deist, deism, is this idea that came over from France to America. And it's this idea, deism is this idea that God is God. God created all things. So you kind of get to have the best of both worlds with deism. It's a man, humanistic theology. God created the world, yes. He created everything that is. But then God stepped back from His creation and He has allowed His creation to do its own thing. And this is what it's come to. This is what we are. So the creation runs itself. All those who are created, us, we are in charge of our own lives. So God is kind of the money behind the big project, all right? So God gave the money and said, here, I'm giving the money. Now, you all run the project, do your own thing. I'm going over here to the island that I bought and lay out at the beach while you, the creation, y'all do your own thing. So he's more like a deist, which is where a lot of people are. They want the best of both worlds. I believe that there is God, but I, Tower of Babel, I run my life. I run the show here. I said, do you believe in God? Yeah, yeah. You believe God created everything? Yeah, yeah. So God created that brain that you have to think and to go to that job. God created the hands that you have to work. God created the lungs that you have to breathe. God created the heart that you have to pump blood all through your system. So without God as your creator, you not only have nothing, you are nothing. You don't even exist. Well, that kind of got, yeah, okay. And finally, I'm just thinking, oh, Lord, let me get out of this. So I finally get out of it. Well, 2008 hits, and people lost a lot of money. And he lost a lot. And it was the best thing that ever happened to him, by the way, but he lost a lot. His family left him because he finally figured out that the only reason the family stayed around at all was because he had a lot of money. But once the money dried up and was gone, then they didn't want to be around him anymore. So I saw him again. Now he was mad and he was angry at God. So when things were going good, he didn't even want to speak of God. I'm in charge. I run the show. I get to do all this. But now that everything had fallen apart and his family had left him, he didn't have any money, now it's God. See, you're God. God did all this. And I said, whoa, time out. Now that's when I'd finally had all that I could take. And the Joel Samuels that shouldn't come out does come out. And I said, time out. That's it. I'm done. So when everything was going great, when everything was fine, when you had money, when you had family, when you had everything that you ever wanted, when everything was going great, you are in charge. You run the show. God doesn't do this. I'm in charge. But all of a sudden, when everything went to pot, the family left, the money dried up, now it's God's fault. Now all of a sudden you believe in God all of a sudden. Oh, isn't that great? And God is the one to blame. And I said, dude, you can't have it both ways. When things are going great, it can't be all you. When things fall apart, it can't be all God. God is to blame when things are bad, and I am given credit when things are good. You can't have it both ways, man. Do you believe in God or not? The psalmist was saying, when things are going good, to God alone be the glory. And when things are going bad and I need deliverance, to God alone be the glory. He was saying, salvation comes from God and God alone. Deliverance comes from God and God alone. My daily bread comes from God and God alone. So on this first Sunday of Advent, we say, I put my hope and my trust in God and God alone for everything. Everything. Everything I am, everything I have. That man, by the way, I forgot to tell this in the early worship, came to faith in Jesus. Spent the last 10 years of his life in love with Jesus as his Savior and Lord. Went to be with Jesus about 8, 9, 10 years ago. I can't even remember his name. Don't even remember his name. But he came to faith in Christ. The best thing that ever happened to him was losing it all. He finally got to the point where he was like the psalmist. You are my salvation, and you are my daily bread. My hope is in Christ and Christ alone. The writer of Hebrews in the New Testament said, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. When the world says, if it feels good, then do it. We say, no, 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 no. I'm not going to put my trust and my faith in my feelings. Y'all, my feelings come and go like the wind. Man, sometimes I feel good. It can fall apart in a New York second. Now, I'm going to put my hope and trust in Jesus. When the world says, he who has the most toys wins, we say, no. No, that can be gone in the snap of a finger, and we know it. I'm going to put my hope and my trust in Jesus. When the world says, there is no one standard for truth, we're going to say, absolutely no. No, not at all. There is only one standard of truth, and his name is Jesus. Jim Henry said, this hope is not based on wishful thinking like the hope that we have for Christmas gifts. This hope is based on the objective reality and the truth of God's promise in Christ Jesus. God has fulfilled his word in the past, and he certainly will fulfill it in the future. God has a perfect record. He's 10-0. He's never been defeated. Hope based on the world's definition is a desire for something or anticipation with expectation. When we use the word hope in the English language, we're saying that whatever it is that we're hoping for may or may not happen. Let me give you an example. I used this example in the early worship. In just a few moments, when I can get the preacher to hush, I'm going to go to lunch somewhere, and I hope that's good. I really hope I have a good lunch. I do. It is sad that most of my illustrations have to do with lunch and food, but they do. And I hope it's good. Janice and I, we have different locations that we go to on Sunday, and so I hope that's good, but I don't know that for sure. The cook, he may have woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and he doesn't really care today, and I get a bad lunch. I hope it's good, but I don't know for sure. I'm going to cross my fingers, and I'm going to wish and hope that it's a good lunch, but I do not know for sure right now, one way or the other, to be quite honest with you. Maybe it's good, maybe it won't be good. Hope, Henry writes from the biblical writers, is not based on wishful thinking. It's not a desire for something that may or may not happen. It's a sure thing. God has a perfect record, and he's never been defeated, and he's never been wrong. So I'm going to close by saying it this way. Simple brain. Why in the world would you put your hope in something that may or may not happen? Why in the world would you put your hope in a 50-50 game of chance? when you could put your hope in a 100% guarantee. Isn't that silly? And yet, the overwhelming majority of people in this world are putting their hope in a game of chance. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. So on this very first Sunday of Advent, what we're saying is, no, I'm going to put my hope in 100% guarantee. It's never failed, never has it failed, it never will fail. A guarantee, hope in Jesus. D.L. Moody once said, one of my favorite all-time quotes, "We hope in Christ because we're strangers in this land, and our hope is for a better place." You better believe it. We hope in Christ because we realize just how unsure of ourselves we are. We know deep down we're doomed if Jesus doesn't stand in our place. We hope in Christ because we know that it is only through His power that we will be made perfect. We hope in Christ because we know just how attached to this world we have become, and we know that we need to be preparing for another world. Yes. We hope in Christ because we are so impatient. We hope in Christ because we cannot run the race or fight the good fight without Him. We hope in Christ because we know that without Him we would live in despair. We hope in Christ because He is our everything. He's everything we have. He's everything we are. He is the answer to every prayer that we have ever prayed. He is our anchor. So today, on this very first Sunday of Advent, we put our hope and our trust in God and God alone, and we praise Him and we worship Him, for He alone is our salvation and He alone is our daily bread. Father, thank You for the hope that we have in Jesus. The candle that we light represents that hope today, a physical reality that shows us a spiritual truth that is a 100% guarantee that's never, ever failed and never will. So if there's anybody here today, Father, that does not know Christ as Savior and Lord, that's our prayer. Hope in Jesus. The world will let us down. For those of us who know You as Savior and Lord, Father, then burn it in our hearts deeper than it's ever been. Our hope is in Christ and Christ alone. Why would we hope in something that we know will not satisfy when we can put our hope in that which is a guarantee? So for those of us that know You as Savior and Lord today, Father, may our hope on this first Sunday of Advent, just walking through this Advent season with that firm, foundational, biblical truth. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our invitation is, O come, all ye faithful. If you've never trusted Christ, then we encourage you to do that. I'll be up front here to receive you if you need to come and pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do. Do that as we stand, as we sing.
Oh, come, let us adore Him.
seated real quickly before we get. All right, last Sunday in the early worship, Micah baptized Hazel. So the next time that you see Hazel running around the church, then you make sure that you say a word of encouragement to Hazel as she was baptized last Sunday morning. All right. Christmas brunch, our senior adults, that's this Saturday at 7 o'clock. I mean, December the 7th, Saturday morning, mid-morning. The sign-up is on the Old Lord's Supper table, so sign up and be a part of that. It's going to be a lot of fun for our senior adults. All right. Ken.
Yeah, we've got Christmas is Jesus coming up soon. It's going to be on Sunday night, December the 15th at 5 o'clock. It will be here in our sanctuary. So we have divided the tickets up between the three churches. And I do have hours here today. If you're interested in coming for that powerful service that night, come. And these are free tickets, but you do need them to get in. So we can make sure there's plenty of room for all three congregations to come. So 5 o'clock on Sunday night, the 15th. Christmas is Jesus.
All right. Anybody that wants to go with Micah December the 19th to the processing center for Samaritan's Purse. And so Micah is going to take a group that has to be 13 years or older to go. See Micah and he'll give you that information. All right. Our youth, pray for our youth as they started Outflow, not this past Wednesday night, but Wednesday night before last. And then this coming Wednesday night, our junior high girls will be going out. So be in prayer for our students as they go out with Outflow for Christmas. That's always great. All right. Several people still ask me about when are we doing this? When are we doing that? And I say, you see these little green slips that are just everywhere? You trip over them? Grab one of these. Take it home. Put it on your refrigerator. And it will tell you everything that we're doing from Thanksgiving to January the 8th. And so Karen's all put all this together and just put one of those on your refrigerator and it'll let you know everything that we've got coming up and you'll make sure that you make everything that we do. All right, let's close by standing and singing to God be the glory.